according to a study published a few years ago. This is Up the Road, dedicated to sustaining the California story. I'm Kim Weir. Here we are again, warming ourselves at the hearth of the old year, yet more than ready for something new. Is there a better time to think about travel, about new horizons in the new year? Even as we burrow in for our long winter's nap, we can dream about places we plan to go and the things we'll do. But there is a cost to travel. According to a study published a few years ago now in the journal Nature Climate Change, pleasure travel costs the world quite a bit. Pleasure travel, meaning tourism, accounts for 8% of all global greenhouse gases. This was before the entire world shut down due to COVID-19 or that long economic nap. But still, now that we're up and out there again, yikes. Tourism is largely a high-income affair, as the lead researcher put it, with wealthier countries serving as both origin and destination for most travelers, but adding to everyone's climate concerns. Making matters worse in terms of climate impact, this trend is likely to continue, with pleasure travel predicted to grow about 4% per year worldwide. And there are other negatives on tourism's balance sheet. Let's include environmental costs not already filed under climate change, a dammed river here, another lost species there, and immense cultural costs, including the loss of languages and entire cultures. Did anyone really want the world to become homogenized? Isn't discovering difference why we set off on adventures in the first place? No to that first question, and yes to the second. But how do you keep people down on the farm after they've held their first iPhone? So, how do travelers justify our going and doing? Is traveling just another exercise in narcissism, the illness of our age, just more me, 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 and my need to impress family and friends with selfies? Is there any way to look at travel as positive on balance? Up the Road says, yes, there is. Yes, we should travel. Not the way we've been doing it. We need to stop consuming travel, consuming the world around us, and contribute instead. We need to embrace new travel ethics on a massive scale. More about that later. But we do need to keep traveling. Who better to explain why than America's own Mark Twain, who discovered, as a traveler, very large life, both on and far beyond the Mississippi. As he once said in The Innocents Abroad, travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness, and many of our people need it sorely on these accounts. Broad, wholesome, charitable views of men and things cannot be acquired by vegetating in one little corner of the earth all one's lifetime. Life in the lower 48 has lately convinced me that we need way more travel, and right now, more charitable viewpoints, less bigotry and narrow-mindedness. And clearly, I need more travel because I keep dreaming of something like a Send Your Neighbor Abroad program to make it easier for you and me to just send certain people away, but in a nice way, by sending them off on vacation. Because travel has a way of educating even the most mean-spirited. As Twain also said in 1868, right after our last Civil War, it liberates the vandal to travel. You never saw a bigoted, opinionated, stubborn, narrow-minded, self-conceited, almighty mean man in your life, but he had stuck in one place since he was born.
Abraham Lincoln was a Republican.
And thought, God made the world and dyspepsia and bile for his especial comfort and satisfaction. That Twain, how did he know then what we'd be up against now, more than a century later? So, send your neighbor abroad. It's a start. Until next time, this is Kim Weir for Up the Road.
North State Give and Take is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Butte College, where your future starts with three-week classes beginning January 3rd, are offered online at the Butte College main campus or the Chico Center. If you can't join this winter, spring classes include cosmetology and barbering at the main campus, Chico and Skyway Centers, and their new Glenn County Center in Orland. Promise scholarships are also available for first and full-time students. Details at butte.edu/start. And by the Printed Image, providing screen printing and embroidery in Chico since 1980. The Printed Image, open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. and by appointment. More information by calling 530-898-9525. Today on North State Give and Take, I'm going to interview Grant Parks. And Grant is the general manager at KZFR. And I just thought it would be really good to hear from Grant and for everybody to learn some of the ins and outs of KZFR and about Grant, who's been, how long, Grant, have you been connected with KZFR?
I think 2022 makes my 12th year, I think.
Yes.
Yes, I started programming and volunteering the weekend I graduated from Chico State, which was in, May of 2010. So I'm going on my 12th year right now.
Right, and you and I were together on that. I think that I was kind of training you to be a programmer.
Mm-hmm. You were one of the people that I sat in with. You and Mojo Hito were two of my trainers.
Yes.
When I first got in. And
yep.
There was that one time slot that I subbed in for a while, the skinny fatty combo one.
Right.
Before I initially hopped into doing Roots and Culture.
Yes.
With Shoshana.
Right.
And sort of in between that time was also when we were moving from the corner studio into the main one. And yes. So I helped out a bunch moving the CDs from one end of the hallway to the other.
I certainly remember that. Yes. So Grant and I have known each other for a while, and we're community radio nuts in a way. And we do collaborate on some things. Tell me more. Just give me a little bit more information about KZFR. Let's just do that kind of first before we talk about you. You know, how long have we been going? You know, just some things like that.
Well, we're going into our 33rd year starting in July. I believe it's July 6th was like the first day that we did a broadcast. So we're going into our 33rd year right now. You know, we've got Pledge Drive going on right now. It's going on. It started April 13th and it's going through Friday, the 22nd. And like many nonprofit media organizations, you know, Pledge Drive is really important as the community is where we're playing for. You know, we're not a commercial radio station, so we're not really getting playlists from record labels or, you know, these distro outlets that, you know, are really sort of controlling what happens in the mainstream media. So KZFR holds its place being a arts and culture epicenter for the North State, as well as a reliable resource for timely and accurate news and information, not only about things that are happening here in Butte County, the North State, our neighboring counties like Sutter and Yuba, but also we try to talk about things on a global scale with programs like we have, like Democracy Now! And Peace and Social Justice, for example, which is hosted by local folks, and it has been for 15, 20, 25 years. And, you know, they touch on everything from city council happenings, city plaza happenings, to even international happenings that we currently see with situations in Ukraine, the most recent appointment of our Supreme Court justice. So when it comes to our news and information, we try to keep everything on the table and give as much as we can, but then also sort of give that local standpoint. And with the music that we produce here, it's really one of a kind. You know, every single one of our music programmers is a audiophile, to say the least. They are very, very passionate and dedicated about like the subject matter that they're playing. So when you have them on the radio, you know, you're not getting someone who doesn't really know anything about what artist they're playing and they're just sort of getting the list and doing some drops. They take the time to curate the playlist. Folks like Preston have, you know, it's almost like a school when you listen to some of these programs because they've just got so much knowledge on the music they play and they just, They're in this to share it with everyone, really.
Well, and they're local, and they're sitting right there doing that. Mm-hmm. That's not something that you find in very many stations where there's an actual person that you could pick up the phone and call them, talk to them.
That's correct. Yeah. And it comes forth in a lot of great ways. You know, you'll hear KZFR DJs like shouting out listeners, and that's because we are live and local 100%. So when someone calls that phone line and one of the DJs answers and that shout out comes, it's not pre-planned. It's spur of the moment. And that's something that, you know, radio has seemingly lost in its, you know, decades of existence. And that's something that we really try to cater to.
Mm-hmm. And how many volunteers or how many programmers are there?
When it comes to programmers, I'd say, you know, at least 80, you know, there are some that do shows every week, some that do shows once a month, and sort of, you know, various iterations in between there. But overall, I would say around 80 or so.
Mm-hmm. And I have to say this, and it's organized in that if you become a programmer, you're not fooling around. There's a process, there's a way to do it, and there's, you know, rules, if you will. And, you know, keeping track of those kind of things is quite a job, I would imagine.
Yeah. It's a balance, you know, because we are one of the few radio stations in town that say you come to us and you want to get involved. We train you on how to use all the equipment, the operating board, the CD players, the turntables and everything. And so we work that balance of being open to any community member, whether you're a novice or an expert. But yeah, you're right. You know, being that we are on the radio, there's FCC rules that we have to adhere to that do require a sort of training. And we try to give you a nice Reader's Digest version of that. And then, you know, once one does get certified and gets their own programs, they get the KZFR Programmer's Bible, which outlines everything in much more detail.
Right.
And that's sort of, you know, what we're trying to do is try to get local people involved, you know. I'm a good example of someone who didn't really think that radio would sort of be my foray, at least in the broadcasting. And then the opportunity came up, I learned it, and I found that it was right in my wheelhouse. And it was something I really enjoyed doing. And, you know, you never know until you try.
That's right. And community radio sort of has there's a passion to it that's pretty interesting. It's different than other things. I know that when you get bit by the bug, you're bit by a bug. There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely. You know, there's... You know, as a programmer, you know, before I was a staff member, I totally felt that sort of intrinsic value that I get, not only from like me, like being on the air and enjoying it, but then like every once in a while, when you get that phone call from someone that says, I love what you're playing, you're like, oh snap, someone's listening. Like, oh wow. You know, and the fact that you just connected with someone, a stranger more or less, feels good.
It does feel good. And we'll talk a little bit more about you and your programming. I wanted to put something out there about wanting the community to be involved and just to understand a little bit about, there is a board of directors. There is a program committee. There are a few things, you know, groups of community members that are making decisions and making the station work, guided by Grant, our general manager. And when he said you get the Bible of the programmer's Bible, the work that it takes to create those things is all done by volunteers from this community. And sometimes it's hard when you're not involved in it to understand how much work that people are doing to make these things work. And, you know, to put your head together and make decisions, and, you know, you get more than three people in the room trying to make a decision, it's tough. They say sometimes that it's like herding cats to be involved in a community radio station. And it is, and because you make those decisions, and then we have to make the Bible for the programmers. We have to figure out things that work for everybody and are legal.
Yeah, I mean, how it's all structured here is actually very community oriented, and it's very volunteer driven. Currently, we have 5 paid staff members, and to run a radio station, it takes a lot more than that. And so that's really where the community involvement and the volunteerism that drives KZFR is really what's allowed us to be as successful as we have for the past 33 years, you know. And it goes everything from the day-to-day programming on air. You mentioned some of the different committees we've got. The committees almost are analogous to sort of departments that are present at radio stations just to make things run as fluidly as possible. And, you know, we talked about the programmer's handbook. You know, we've got a committee here that literally deals with just sort of the board policy manuals, any sort of guidelines, procedural stuff. So we have that happening. You also mentioned our program committee that sort of helps evaluate some of the programs when a community member comes in. You know, they're the folks who would be like, oh, you know, they give sort of evaluation step points on how you can enhance your program, make it better for the listeners, you know. And then being a nonprofit, we do have our board of directors that, you know, can seat anywhere from, I think, 9 to 13 people at any given moment. And the board really works with the larger goals at hand. You know, they're not necessarily doing things that the staff and I are, where we're working on day-to-day stuff. A lot of it is larger sort of big idea, strategic planning type concepts. I say it a lot at our programmer meetings that, you know, no man is an island and it takes a village. And that's the truth. You know, there's no way that the staff and I could run KZFR on our own. And so, you know, it's a community partnership. It's a community thing.
Yep. So now that's a little about KZFR. Tell me about you, Grant. You know, I know you've got a program on KZFR, and I want to hear about that. And your DJ.
PHG.
Yeah, yeah. Say it for me again.
DJ PHG.
There you go. I should know that. So tell me a little bit how you got involved in that and what that does. I know you have a show and also you're a DJ.
Yeah, and, you know, me being a DJ really ties into sort of how I got involved with KZFR. You know, the background is that I was always a music kid. I was in, you know, the marching band, the symphonic band in high school. We took, you know, a couple music classes when I was at Chico State. But then when I was in college, I started picking up DJing, you know, little house parties, little college parties, and then also at KCSE, which is the Chico State radio station. So that's what I'm doing when I'm not here in the office. The radio show that I have is also sort of my company, you could say. It's called Caribbean Dance Radio. It's we've got a program here. We also have a program on KKRN, which is up north, up in the Round Mountain, Redding Red Bluff area. And then it also goes out to a couple stations in Ghana and also in the United Kingdom as well. And so when I'm not at KZFR doing radio, I'm doing sort of radio at my home studio, also putting on events here, say the local Jamaican restaurant, Sipo's, but then I also do music festival, emceeing and DJing. So reggae is really, you know, my favorite genre of music. That's what I play when I'm, you know, DJ PHG on the radio. We have regular listeners who know the program and know how, hear how I'm talking right now. You can tell the music makes me feel a type of way. So, you know, it adds a little style, yeah, a little character to the sound. And, you know, that's how I got involved with KZFR. Someone who knew that I had a KCSC radio program and then also knew me from doing house parties in college was just talking to me one day. He knew I was a big reggae guy and he goes, "Hey, have you heard of this one radio station in town? They have a couple reggae radio shows." So I say, "Oh yeah, really? Da, 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 da." Lo and behold, one of my friends is on that station. I didn't even put it all together. And so that was one of my introductions. So naturally that's when I came in and started doing some of the training and volunteering. And, you know, it was really interesting because it almost really feels like it came full circle. I moved to Chico State when I was, you know, 18. I moved here as an undergraduate to become, you know, to graduate Chico State, go Wildcats. Yeah. But when I was younger, I was always an NPR listener, you know, with my parents, you know, those Sunday drives after church, my parents would turn on NPR and what would be on? It would be Car Talk. And so, you know, naturally the radio would stay on the car ride home, and then it would stay on as we got into the house. And so, you know, I've been listening to nonprofit media for a very long time, almost my entire life. And so when I first was able to get involved with KZFR, it really felt like everything was coming full circle.
Hey, I'm Bobby Tryon, and we've been listening to an interview that I had with Grant Parks, the manager of KZFR. So stay tuned. We'll come back. KZFR Chico. My name's Bobby Tryon, and this is North State Give and Take. I interview mostly nonprofits, and today I'm interviewing Grant Parks, general manager of KZFR.
I imagine that the music part is more pleasurable than the work that you do at work, although at the station, I know that you like that as well, but that's work, and I know that. And I can say this, I'd like to say that to you, Grant, because Grant's our new station manager. I think you've been station manager now for maybe 8 months, maybe?
Yeah, I became station manager officially July 1, so I'm closing out my first fiscal year right now.
Yeah, and I am a board member, and I have to say how wonderful it's been for us as a board to have Grant, to have you, Grant, as our station manager. Just that somehow you've got an organizational skill that is pretty remarkable. To juggle all of that and to actually keep everything on track and report to a board so that the board knows what's going on, it's a pleasure, really.
I appreciate that. It's a joy.
Yeah, it's really good. We're so lucky to have you, really lucky. Oh, I did want to say, when is your show on, just so people that are listening and may not have heard it? The Caribbean Dance.
And here's going to be the splice in.
Good.
My program, Caribbean Dance Radio, is on KZFR every Tuesday from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., playing the best and latest in reggae and dancehall.
Got it.
This interview was done during a pledge drive, so Grant is going to here elaborate on what we have planned for this year since our pledge drive.
And one of the things that we're doing with this drive is a continuation from our emergency preparedness plan that we started in March 2021. The idea is that we've seen that the fire season becomes unpredictable and there's an immediate need for emergency notifications to go out to people, whether it's road closures, evacuations, where the shelters are, you know, the breadth of the fire, how long it's been going, things like that are going to be very important as we move forward into the next fire season. So one of the things that we're doing is we are continuing and looking to complete funding for this emergency preparedness plan that KZFR has. It's sort of a two-part plan. There's a local portion of it that has to do with things happening right in downtown Chico, right at our current office and studios. And then there's another leg of it that's happening up at the transmitter site that we have up in Magalia. So if you remember, in the March 2021 drive, we were seeking funds to be putting a generator on the roof of 341 Broadway so that then should the power go out in downtown Chico, we'll have that generator kick on so that then we can still be providing information to folks should anything happen downtown. That's really essential because we've noticed that in the past 10 years, we've had more power failures in downtown, whether it's planned or unplanned, than we had had in the previous 20 years combined. So it's becoming more frequently. So we're trying to prepare for that. naturally, in the worst case scenario, where power is out in all of downtown for a, you know, if it's going to be like that, it's usually going to be for a catastrophe or for a disaster of some kind, that we're still able to get information out to all of our listeners about what's going on. So that's part of the local portion. Funds for that have been received and completed. Thank you to all of our generous donors for making that happen. And the next step is that we're working with Bilson Construction to work on crane rentals, building a natural gas line from the ground all the way to the fourth floor, to then put that generator right there on the roof. So that's been funded currently, and we're actually going to be starting that process of construction here very soon. And the things that we're looking for and seeking funding for during this drive is for the rural portion of it. Our transmitter is located up in the ridge in Megalia, and it's pretty deep out there. The roads stop, and you start hitting a dirt road, and that's how you know you're almost there. And inside of our transmitter building is all sorts of radio equipment that we've had for a very long time. And so what we're looking to do is replace a lot of the radio frequency and amplification gear, as well as getting a new generator up there, and as well as creating a new studio to transmitter link. And so then we can not only, say, broadcast from downtown Chico, where our offices currently is, but if anything were to happen in downtown Chico, we would actually have a secondary STL for an emergency broadcast. And the working term I'm using is the triangle of effectiveness. So basically, at any given point, if there is an emergency, we'd have multiple ways to get that information out to the public. Should something happen at the transmitter site, we'd be able to do sort of broadcasting from our building right in downtown Chico to the immediate area, affecting a lot of the downtown and sort of the major metropolitan circle right here, where it's densely populated. And so one of the things that we've done in preparation for this emergency preparedness plan up at the transmitter site in Megalia is we're working with the USDA for a rural community facilities grant, and they are actually willing to contribute 55% of the funds needed for this project. So overall, for all of the new generators, the new STLs, the new RF radio frequency amplifiers and distributors, you know, the total cost of that is going to be $49,000. But with this grant that we're receiving from the USDA, that brings that price marker down significantly. It brings it down 55%. And so that's where it gets us to that $24,000 to $25,000 that we'll be earmarking from this drive to go immediately to that project. And then everything after that, you know, will go to station operations, everything like new CD players, new gear in the studio, you know, as well as doing more community outreach to reach some of our underserved areas, our rural areas, and areas that don't really have broadband that really rely on KZFR for any type of information. So, you know, any gift that's given to KZFR during this drive, you know, it's not going to bump up my salary. It's not going to bump up the staff salary. It's really so that then we can help fulfill our mission to, you know, inform people when a disaster or catastrophe occurs.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for saying all that, Grant. That kind of makes it, we all realize this isn't all fun and games.
It's
definitely, you know, it's a big project that has to have eyes on it and people working on it and money.
Mm-hmm. And it's just the beginning. Fun things to come.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, Grant, I thank you. And it was good talking to you.
Never happened.
It always is. All right, Grant.
And thank you ahead of time.
All right. Thanks, Grant.
Rock and roll, Bobby.
All right, bye.
Thank you for this opportunity. I was actually kind of nervous. So I was comforted that I got to talk with you as opposed to someone else. So
no, that's the fun part about this, because I can make it kind of lightweight. You know, it doesn't seem to be that heavy for people. Thanks to Grant today for our interview for No State Give and Take on nonprofits and our most favorite nonprofit, KZFR. And you've been listening to Grant Parks, the general manager
of KZFR. If you are